So our first reading for today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
And our main reading today is Matthew 10. I'm going to read verse 1 and then verses 5 to 8. So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will speak to us through your word this morning. Pray for your help and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I love this book. I love this book, the Bible. It's a book that is so rich, it's so deep, it's so complex. You can just never get to the bottom of it. There's always something new, always new treasures to be found within its pages. And more than that, it's the living word of God that speaks to us across time, across history, across geography, across cultures, and into our lives right now, today, here in North Wales in 2021. Some people think of the Bible a bit like your car manual, you know, like a handbook. And they see it as like a handbook for life, a book of rules to live by, instructions. And it's true that the Bible does have rules and commands within it. It's got a lot of them. But as I said before here, at its heart, it is a story. It's a story in which the God of the universe has revealed himself. He's shown us his character. He's shown us what he's like, particularly in the person of Jesus Christ. And we are invited into that story, to enter in, to become part of the story, to live in it, to join in with what God is doing to redeem the whole of creation. But that does actually all make it a bit difficult sometimes when you're reading the Bible and maybe reading a passage like we're reading at the moment, Matthew chapter 10. And you come across some instructions, particularly if those are instructions of Jesus. And you have to decide whether those instructions that were given at a specific time to specific people in a specific place are things which also apply to us in the same way today. And if they do apply, how do they apply? And in those cases, often we need to take a step back and pay attention to the big picture, pay attention to that whole story of the Bible. And we need to use our intelligence, we need to use our discernment, and we need the Holy Spirit's help and one another's help as well to work out where we fit into that story that's being told. And I think the passage we're reading at the moment, Matthew 10, is one of those bits that we need to wrestle with a bit in this way. So in this passage we've just read, Jesus is talking to his disciples, the 12, the ones that Jesus specifically called to be with him, as John spoke about last week. And he's sending them out in this passage on their first mission task. And it says in verse 5 that he gave them the following instructions. And he said this: "Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." So basically Jesus is saying, Your mission here is limited. You're to go to the Jews and only the Jews. Don't even go into any towns that are not Jewish. Well, this to us is quite confusing, and we might think, well, surely God loves everybody. Why does Jesus tell them only to go to the Jews? And the same puzzle comes up a few chapters later when a Canaanite woman, a Gentile non-Jewish woman, is talking to Jesus and she asks him to heal her daughter. And Jesus initially refuses and he says, again, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's Matthew 15, verse 24. And of course, he does then actually go on to heal the woman's daughter. But it's still a bit confusing. Why does he say this? And what is he talking about? Why does this mission seem to be to the Jews first? And it's even more confusing because one of the things that we've seen in the Gospel of Matthew up to this point is that there's a theme running right through it of inclusion of non-Jews, of inclusion of the Gentiles, not exclusion. And we see this right from the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. There's genealogies at the beginning, the family tree of Jesus, and we see Gentile women, women like Tamar, Ruth and Rahab, who were all foreigners. They're all included in Jesus's family tree. We see it again with the Gentile non-Jewish wise men coming to worship the infant Jesus with their gold, frankincense and myrrh. And we see it in the healing of the Roman centurion servant, which we looked at back in the autumn. So this is where it's helpful for us to look at the big story of the Bible. And this puzzle goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, when God first calls the people of Israel through their ancestor Abraham, or Abram as he was called first of all. And the reading that John read for us from Genesis 12 describes how Abraham and his family were chosen. They were called by God to be a great nation, but then they would have this task to bless the whole world. Through them, all of the nations, all of the peoples, all of the families of earth would be blessed through them. So perhaps when Jesus sends his disciples to the Jews first, it's not a matter of inclusion or exclusion, but it's a matter of order, of priority. Because Jesus, we sometimes forget that Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. He's come to fulfill the prophecies made about him in Israel's scriptures and the expectation of hundreds of years of Jewish hope and Jewish prayer and Jewish waiting, seen in Anna and Simeon at the temple. Jesus is coming first of all to the lost sheep of Israel to fulfill all that has been promised about him, that one day a new son of Abraham would be raised up, who would be a new Abraham, a new Moses, a new King David, fulfilling all that was written about him. And then through this Messiah, the new kingdom of God, that is heaven breaking in and bringing salvation and healing and forgiveness and hope and light and life to the world, that kingdom of God would be inaugurated. And this would be a blessing, not just for the Jews, but for all nations. And sure enough, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus' death and after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus commands his disciples again to go, but this time the command is a different one. Once again, Jesus calls them to him and he sends them out on a mission, but this time they're not sent only to Jews. They are sent into all the world. Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Everyone is included. But through this Jewish Messiah, the nations, the whole world is going to be blessed. Now, this is a really interesting topic, and there's so much more that I could say. But I just want to carry on into the passage a bit more, because as we carry on reading in Matthew 10, as we were reading earlier, it throws up even more questions about how do we apply this to us today? Verse 7 says this: as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Okay, speaking, preaching, proclaiming the good news. Are we being commanded and commissioned to do that? Well, that sounds okay. Maybe a bit scary, but not too bad. But then in verse 8, he starts commanding them other things like heal those who are ill. Whoa, so he's commanding them to do healing miracles like he's been doing. But then it gets really intense. He says, raise the dead, raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Are these things that we're being commanded to do as well? Are they things that we can translate directly into our context? I want to follow Jesus. I want to obey him. I want to be a disciple, a learner, someone who follows Jesus, someone who makes him Lord of my life. But am I really being called to do these things? Or are these just specific tasks given to these specific 12 people at that specific time? How can we translate this into our context? How does it apply to us? Well, as we've already seen, the 12 had a limited mission at this point. They were given specific tasks for their specific context. And also importantly, in verse 1, they are given authority to do these things. Now, we know a bit about authority, don't we? A police officer's got authority, or a judge, or a traffic warden, or a member of parliament. They've got authority to perform certain tasks and make certain decisions. If I was to come up to you in the street and say, you're under arrest, get in the car, I'm taking you to the station, you'd probably just laugh at me. But if a police officer was to do that, hopefully you'd do what you were told pretty quickly, because they have authority. They've got authority which has been given to them by the state by virtue of their office. And in the same way, Jesus gives his 12 disciples authority to do these tasks, not because they're special people in and of themselves, but because the authority is his to give. All this should make us ask some questions. Questions of ourselves and questions of God as we wrestle with what is our calling. First question. We've already seen how they were sent to the Jews to start with, to the people of Israel. What's our context? Where are we? Who are we with? Who are we sent to? Sometimes God calls us out of the place where we are. He calls us out of our most comfortable context. And he calls us to go and minister in a completely different place to completely different people. I mean, I never thought I'd end up in Northwest Wales. The other day I was talking to my friend Catherine on WhatsApp, and Catherine is from Dublin and she's a very, very proud Irish woman. But God has called her to work amongst rural farmers in Nigeria. And she's got an amazing ministry there. It's incredible, but not what she would have expected. And sometimes God does call people into new places and to people and cultures that might be far away from where we are now. And we need to be open to that. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit's call and say, you know, wherever you want me, God, send me. But for most of us, the reality is that our context is here. Our context is Holyhead. And God calls us on mission right where we are, to these people and to this place. Our house, our street, our family, our neighbourhood, our social media groups, the places where we work, the cafes, the pubs where we socialise, the familiar routes where we go for a run or walk the dog. We can't all be everywhere. Where are the places where your feet touch the ground day by day? Or the online spaces where you hang out? That's your context. The second question we might be asking is, well, what are we being called to do? What have we been given authority to do? What have you been given authority to do? Is it the same as these disciples? Or is it something different? Are we all given authority to do the same things? Or should some of us be doing one thing and some people another? Well, I've never cleansed anyone from leprosy, although I have given money to support the leprosy mission. And I've never knowingly driven out a demon, although who knows? I've certainly never raised anyone from the dead. But my old college principal, Peter Stevenson, came back from a trip to India a couple of years ago. And reports of these kinds of miracles amongst the churches and amongst the disciple-making groups there were commonplace. Sometimes I wonder, do we have the authority to do these things? Is it just that our rational post-enlightenment society is so bereft of faith and so starved of godly imagination that we have lost our capacity for miracle and wonder? In Matthew chapter 13, we note that Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth, where people aren't very welcoming to him. And we read the damning words that Matthew says about that town in verse 58. And it says, he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And I wonder, in 21st century Western Europe, are we in a time of little faith and few miracles? But we're still called to be faithful. We're still called to be faithful in the midst of that. What is God calling us to do? What has he given authority to do in the time where we are, in the society where we are, in the place where we are? What are you living your life for day by day? What is your mission? What have you been given authority to do? Maybe I'm asking more questions here than answering them. But one part of this message that I think we can all cling on to is verse 7. And he says to his disciples, and I believe he says it to us too, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Many people think of heaven as being a disembodied, ethereal place up in the sky somewhere where your soul floats off to when you die, and everyone is just sitting around on clouds all day playing harps. No. Heaven is the place where God is. Heaven is the place where the love and the glory and the holiness and the beauty of God is present in all its fullness. It's the place where God's will is done, so that there's always love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, because these are the characteristics that display themselves when God's presence fills a place. That's why we're taught to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And in Jesus, the good news is that the kingdom of heaven, the place where God lives, has come near. Jesus has brought the presence of God, the glory of God, the power of God, the penetrating truth of God, and the graceful, all-embracing love of God. He's brought that into the midst of humanity, into our mess. The kingdom of heaven is close enough to touch. It's close enough to grab hold of, to enter into. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He doesn't stand far off. He's come near. God has come near to us in Jesus Christ. And this message is still the same. This is still the message we're called to proclaim. This is the message that the church must keep speaking, must keep displaying, must keep demonstrating, must keep preaching. And we do it as we go. As we go and do the things we've been called to do, whether that be to be a minister or a care worker, stay-at-home dad, grandmother, gardener, a dog walker, a charity fundraiser, a cleaner, a foster carer, a lorry driver, whatever it is, as we go, we tell them. We tell them. Let's tell the lost sheep of North Wales, of Holyhead, the kingdom of heaven has come near in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in you we know that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And we want to invite people into that reality, Lord. We want people to follow you, to make them Lord of their lives, to experience the transformation and grace which only comes through entering into your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us boldness. We pray that you would build up our faith where it's become lacking, where we're lacking in imagination, where we're lacking in that perception of miracles. I pray that you will show us who you are, that you will show us your glory, so that we can speak about it to those who we know and love, and so that many, many people might come to know who you are. Lord God, would you reveal yourself afresh to us? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.